All right, if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Today I want to share with you how God has been working on my heart and how he really has been speaking to me over the last 2 years. And today we're going to look at the light of the gospel. And really, the verse is, if our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So if our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. We're going to dissect verses 1 through 6, and tonight we're going to look at my 3 points for you today is if we have a ministry, if we hide this ministry, and if we shine this ministry. So in verse, starting out in verse 1, it starts as therefore having this ministry. So we kind of have to look back because it's like, what is this ministry that we have? So let's look back at chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, and I'll read it for you here. It says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. That's really crucial. And being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So when we behold the glory of the Lord, the first time we did that is when we accepted Christ into our hearts. When we said, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that I need you. When we did that, when we accepted Christ, and Chris, when you accepted Christ for the first time, when you accepted him, you beheld the glory of the Lord. You were walking in darkness, and now you're walking in light. You beheld the glory of the Lord. In verse 18, it says that we need to be transforming into the same image of Christ. So this ministry that we have, if we have this ministry, we need to be transforming into the image of Christ. The purpose of the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is to bring glory to the Lord. Tonight we sang the song, Your Name is Worthy. We can sing that. But like, do we actually mean it? Do our lives enact upon it? Does it follow it? Worthy of your name. So tonight, I want you to look at this ministry that we have. If we have this ministry, which is we are called to be transformed into the image of Christ, then how are we going about that? So 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, if you're there, let's read it. It says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. By the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So this ministry is given to us by God. And Paul, when he was speaking here, he was saying, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart because we have the mercy of God. And so I think of this. So I'm not much of a runner. So I run maybe once every year, okay? But once I get to that breaking point, after that mile and a half, for some reason that once I hit a mile and a half, it's really hard for me to continue on. But once I reach that breaking point, I can continue going. I could do about 4 or 5 miles, no problem. But we have to come to that breaking point. I think so many times, like when churches start up, they say in the first couple years, it's a really struggle because they're just struggling. The devil's trying to attack and he's trying to shut it down. But they can continue in their ministry by the mercy of God. You guys can continue in your ministry by the mercy of God. And this ministry that we have is to transform into the image of Christ. So how about you? Have you lost heart in your ministry of transforming into the image of Christ? Because our verse that we're going to get into later says, if our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. This ministry is given to us by God, and it is done for the glory of God. Paul was saying he does not faint because of God's mercy on his life. And Romans 1 tells us that because of Paul's call and because he wanted to see the nations reached, because he wanted to obey the word of the Lord, he could have God's mercy and God will continue to bless him. So this ministry, we are called to be the light of the gospel. We are called to be transforming into the image of Christ. So do we have the desire and the obedience to see and share the gospel with all nations, just like Paul? If you have lost heart in your ministry, I'll tell you what, start sharing the gospel. Because when you beheld the glory of the Lord for the first time, when you accepted Christ into your heart, when you saw the glory of the Lord, when you put aside all your sin and realized that you are worthless without Christ, you beheld the glory of the Lord. And it's our ministry to keep transforming into the image of Christ, to look more like Christ. And when we are transforming into the image of Christ, you know, Christ demands us to be sharing the gospel. And when we become more like Christ, and we see who Christ is in the Bible, we're going to see that Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. So if we have this ministry, are we seeking and trying to share the gospel with those in our lives and those within our community? Because as we transform into the image of Christ, we're going to naturally be doing that because we are going to have a desire that this whole world hears. Let's look into verse 2 and we can see how this ministry and how we should act. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, one. And then verse 2 will tell us how we should act if we have this ministry. So in verse 2, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Disgraceful and underhanded ways are idols or things in our lives that are causing us not to let the gospel, not to let our light so shine so others can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So what are those things in your life that are causing you to, that when the lost look at you, they say, that's very hypocritical. This week, I had an opportunity to speak with a few people here in town, and I was just talking to them and asking, hey, what's your spiritual belief? Like, where are you at spiritually, and, you know, what do you think of the church? And these were people without Christ, and one said, you know, my neighbor, he goes to church, and, you know, his family, they're going there all the time. His son is even studying to be a pastor, you know, but he's like, they don't take care of their pets. I always hear screaming come from their house, and they just don't have good family unity. But yet, that Christian, that life, what's sad is, he says he's going to church. The neighbor sees him goes to church, but his actions don't match up with what he says he is. And so Paul says, we have put these things aside. Why? Because a double standard life is going to cause people to question. They're going to wonder, like, what is he actually? And it causes many people to not even come to church. It causes many people not even to come to Christ because of the hypocrisy that takes place. Paul says we renounce or we reject these things. Why? Because when we behold the glory of the Lord and are transforming more to be like him, we find that Christ is a perfect, spotless redeemer. And if Christ is a perfect, spotless redeemer, then what are those things in our areas in our life where we need to take out and where we need to get right so that we can match up with the image of Christ? We need to renounce this disgraceful and underhanded ways to transform into the image of Christ. Okay, let's look into the next verse, or into the same verse, but later on it says, if we have this ministry, we also need to not tamper or dilute the word of God. So tamper or dilute means to, you know, to water it down. I think of when I was a kid growing up. Now, I grew up in New Hampshire, and so in the hot summer times, when it reached about 65 degrees, we would all be coming back in sweating, and, you know, we'd be playing outside all day. And my mom always had a 1 liter cold seltzer water. That's what she did in the summertime. That's just what she had. Every day we'd come back and we'd be like, hey, mom, can I please have a drink of your seltzer water? And typically, sometimes she would say yes, sometimes she said no. Most of the time it was no. But when one day I came in after a really, really hot day and playing outside, I said she wasn't there. So the seltzer was open, and I thought I was really smart, so I just took some. And I drank, there's probably about this much left. And when I finished that much, I'm like, oh no, she's going to notice that I took too much, and I'm going to get in trouble. And so I filled it up with water, you know. And I thought, oh wow, that looks really, you know, it looks really good, looks about the same. So, you know, that was their seltzer water. And when my mom came into the kitchen, I was sitting there like, please don't notice, please don't notice, please don't notice. She noticed it. And it looked the same, but did not offer the same benefits that a whole pure seltzer water would. Now, when we share God's word and we dilute it down to, if you're a Christian, you're going to have good health, you're going to have good wealth, you'll have good prosperity, right? That's what we kind of hear in today's culture. But when you dilute it down, it doesn't offer the same benefits that it would as if it was pure and whole. And God's word is what does not return void. And so if we're going to dilute God's word down when we preach or when we speak or when we share it with our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers, it's not going to offer the same benefits that it promises. And I think, too, we're called to live out the word of God, right? And so if we're called to live out the word of God, why are we diluting the word of God in our lives? And why are we living that double standard life that, you know, we say we're Christian, but then, oh, we're going to dilute it down. It's okay. We can watch this movie. It's okay. We can do this. We can act this way. We don't have to talk to our neighbors. You know, so many of you come home, and you don't even know you're three neighbors down. Christ has put you in your place to reach Pensacola, and how are we going to reach Pensacola if we don't even start with our neighbors? So we need to stop diluting the word of God, and we need to renounce disgraceful and underhanded ways. If we have this ministry, we, by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Paul was saying, if we have this ministry, we need to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:17 tells us, Paul says that, for we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. If we have this ministry and want to behold the glory of the Lord, we need to preach and live the word of God. The word of God alone is what can save. It's the word of God that will not return void. So tonight, are you transforming into the image of Christ? You have this ministry. If we have this ministry, we need to, because part of transforming into the image of Christ is to share the gospel and for others to see Christ in us so that they can accept the gospel. So if we have this ministry, we need to transform into the image of Christ by, first off, not losing heart, second, by renouncing underhanded, disgraceful ways, and by preaching in the living word of God. Why? So we can behold the glory. Now, my second point that I'm getting into tonight is a really tough one, because it's something that I found myself doing without even really paying attention, and that is if we hide this ministry. So let's look into verses 3 and 4. It says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Wow. If we have and hide this ministry that has been given to us, we are hiding it from those who are perishing. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, he still had his linen straps on. And John 11:44, Christ said, unbind him and let him go. When Christ raised me from being dead in my sin, he commanded me and called me to unbind my deathly clothes. My deathly clothes of living for the flesh and living for my own glory. He called me to put those away and to put on the new man in Christ. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when Lazarus was raised from the dead, Christ said, unbind him and let him go. What if Lazarus had stayed in his grave clothes? Do you think people would come to him and want to see this miracle that Christ has done? He was a living miracle. Do you think people would want to see him? Probably not, because he's covered in nasty clothes and he smelled bad, and he would not be adorning the gospel. Well, when Christ raised me from the dead of being dead in sin, he called me to put on the new man of Christ. So why, time after time, do I hide under those grave clothes? And why, time after time, do I go back to wanting to live according to my flesh and live in my deathly garments? Because let me tell you, friend, when we are serving ourselves and we are living like a dead man, when we are living in our deathly clothes, we are not adorning the gospel. We are not making it look good. we are not making it attractive. But if we're living for Christ, and if we put on that new man in Christ, and we are transforming into the image of Christ, people are going to flock to that. People are going to want to know, what's different about him? What's different about her? People are going to want to know. But we need to put on that new man in Christ. And if we are serving ourselves, and if we are in those dead clothes, we are hiding the gospel. We are veiling the gospel. And who are we veiling the gospel to? To those who are perishing. And that's a serious weight that we hold. To those who are perishing. What's so sad is, if we hide this ministry of proclaiming the gospel, it's exactly what Satan wants us to do. Let's go back to our passage. It says in verse 4, it says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." So when we beheld his glory, let's go back to the ministry that we have. When we beheld his glory, it is our goal to transform into the image of Christ. Well, let me tell you what, the devil says, in their case, the God of this world, which is the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The devil has the exact opposite goal of what you're called to do. He has the exact opposite goal. And we are at war. And when you choose to serve your flesh and go back to the dead man before Christ, you are choosing to automatically lose. You are choosing to automatically lose, and the devil has you exactly where he wants you to be, because he wants to keep the lost unbeliever lost. And he wants to keep the saved person from sharing to the lost how Christ can save them from their sins, and how the lost person can behold the glory of Christ. The God of this world wants to keep the unbelievers blinded and seeks to devour the believers to keep the gospel veiled. If we hide this ministry, we are hiding it from those who are perishing. If the gospel is veiled, is veiled from those who are perishing. So how are you handling that in your life? Is your life matching up with the Word of God? If it's not, the Bible says in John 8, abide in the Word, and you and the truth will set you free. Some of us here need to abide in God's Word more and more and stop serving the dead man and start serving the new man in Christ. If our gospel be hid, it is hid from those who are perishing. So if we hide this ministry, we are hiding it from those who are lost. Let's look into verse 5 and 6. This one's a little bit more exciting to me because it's about if we shine this ministry. "For what we proclaim is not ourselves," verse 5, "but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." If we shine this ministry, the requirement and demand for us is to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. So when we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, that's how his name gets heard. How often do we pray that we'll be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to share the gospel into all the world? That's what it takes if we're going to shine this ministry. So you're either, I want to propose this to you, you are either hiding this ministry or you are shining this ministry. There's not one or the other. So what are you doing? Are you hiding or shining this ministry? When we accept the gospel, when we behold the glory of the Lord for the first time, yes, we do get eternal life. We do get eternal life, but we also commit to a crucified life of serving Christ. That's what we commit to. We commit to serving Jesus Christ. So I told you earlier that this is something that the Lord has been working on my heart these last couple years. And the way he's been working on my heart is, a few years ago, I really wanted to go to camp when I was in high school or junior high. And my dad said that I need to raise my own money to get there. So I went around to all my neighbors and I knocked on their door saying, "Hey, I'm trying to raise money for camp. Can I mow your lawn? Can I weed your garden beds, mulch, whatever it takes. I was going to get to camp." And so as I was going around, I met two neighbors specifically that I did a lot of work for. And one was Mr. Foster. And Mr. Foster had had a lot of land. He had probably, I think, over 900 acres, had fields and garden beds galore. So I was always busy. And I had always been working with Mr. Foster, and I knew he was older, and I knew he was sick, and I knew that he wasn't doing well health-wise, but I never really thought much that he was, like, close to death at all. I never really thought much about that. But as I started working for him, and, you know, a couple years went by, and then all of a sudden, in the wintertime, I would shovel their porches after a snowstorm. And one winter morning, I got a call. And it was from Mrs. Foster. I thought she was just saying, hey, come on over, I want you to shovel. But the call wasn't that. It was, hey, Mr. Foster passed away this morning. I sat there, just crying, because I didn't know if I had ever shared the gospel with him. I didn't know where he was at. But Christ put me in that place so that I could share the gospel with him. I didn't. So that was really weighing heavy on my mind. And as I was thinking more about it, there was another neighbor that I worked for, Mr. Jerry, and he lived about 2 miles away. And in New Hampshire, you know, 2 miles away, you're still a neighbor. So he was down the road, and I used to cut his grass every week. And so because of, you know, after Mr. Foster passing, I didn't want that guilt again of if he passed, I didn't share the gospel with him. So week after week, he paid me $6 to mow his lawn. And so I'd be mowing his lawn, going back and forth, and just saying, Lord, I want to share the gospel with him. I want to share the gospel with him. Please help him to get saved. Help him to get saved. So I went back and forth on this lawnmower week after week. And every single time we would come up after he was done, it would take me about 45 minutes to mow his grass. I would sit on his porch with him. He would be right here. He was a retired military. And every single week, he talked about the same stories pretty much. He talked about when he was on the boat, he would crack an egg and it would fry right on the dock. So if I'm ever on a boat, now I know how to fry an egg, I guess. But I would sit there week after week and I would hear the same exact story. And as I was mowing the lawn, I would be praying, Lord, I want him to get saved. I want to share the gospel with him because I don't know how long he's going to live because he had heart failure. So week after week, I'd be like, Jerry, you need to get saved. Jerry, here's the gospel. Here's what it is. And then after a week, he'd pay me my $6, sometimes in quarters. He would get down, and I'd go home, and I'd ride my bike. I'd be like, yes, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad that I shared the gospel with him, so if he passed, it's not on my shoulders. But I was doing it for my own glory. I was doing it so it would help me. In verse 5 and 6, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And the reason why this has been so heavy on my heart lately is right before coming back down to the semester of college, I get a call from Andrea, his wife, and Jerry had passed. And again, I was at a state where I was just sharing the gospel. Yeah, I had actually shared the gospel with him, but it was for my sake. It wasn't for Jesus Christ's sake. And so I did a whole semester down here in Pensacola, went back home. And when I go back home, something around our house at Christmas time, we always make the Schwenke fudge, which is we make some fudge, we give it to all our neighbors and friends and people at church and my teachers at school. And so every single year it was my job, ever since I had my license, to deliver the fudge to all the neighbors. And so I drive around delivering the fudge. And then our next door neighbor, which is about a quarter of a mile away from us, I always hated delivering fudge there. I'm not going to lie. I really did. Like, the house was just, it was really rough, and it was just, you know, they had chickens in their house. It was just a really rough house. The people were weird, and it was just a unique house. And we called it, and we said, you know, every single time we talked about him around the family table, it was either some remark towards him, not any loving in any way. One time, we invited him to church, and he came. There's no follow-up after that. And so it was at Christmas I delivered fudge to everyone. And talking about sharing the gospel and about shining this ministry, I wasn't doing that. I was hiding the ministry. This ministry is to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ so we can behold his glory, so others can behold his glory. We went away on vacation for Christmas. My dad got a text. Our next door neighbor, Dave, passed away. And this is not an exaggeration. Guys, it took three people. Three people who were within a 2-mile radius of my house that I personally knew. For God to get a hold of my heart and to say, Sam, stop hiding the gospel and start shining the gospel. You are the light and I gave you eternal life. So why don't you share that with others? And that's why God's been working on my heart lately. As if I'm hiding this ministry or if I'm shining this ministry. So I challenge and encourage you guys today. Do your neighbors know Christ? Those people you work with, do they know Christ? Okay, you hear up from this pulpit every week, week after week. Share the name of Jesus Christ. Share the name of Jesus Christ. You know, glorify your name. Glorify your name. Are you really doing that? Like, am I really doing that as a student? Consciously being aware? Because if we don't, our gospel is hid and is veiled to those who are perishing. As Jared comes up, we're going to look at verse 6. And verse 6 answers the result of when we shine the gospel. Verse 6 says, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We need to pray that we would be the hands and feet of Jesus' ministry. When we shine the ministry of Christ, others who are walking in darkness, where the God of this world wants them to walk, they can see our light, and they will be attracted to it. And when they see the light, and when they accept the light, Jesus Christ is the light of this world. And when they accept this light, they can glorify their Christ, and they can behold his glory.